What if you could sit down with over 100 of the world's most accomplished people and ask them anything? Tim Ferriss, facing his own crossroads at 40, did exactly that. Feeling directionless and questioning everything, he crafted 11 carefully designed questions and sent them to extraordinary achievers across every field imaginable, from Olympic athletes to billionaire investors, from renowned chefs to pioneering scientists. Their responses became Tribe of Mentors, a collection so rich with insight that Hugh Jackman called it essential reading and Forbes dubbed it a high-leverage toolkit for life. What makes this wisdom particularly powerful is how it evolves with you. Advice that seems obvious today might become life-changing tomorrow when circumstances shift and you're ready to hear it differently. Ferriss didn't stumble into this project randomly. His methodology reveals something profound about how we extract wisdom from others. The 11 questions weren't just conversation starters. They were precision instruments, each calibrated to unlock specific insights. Questions about favorite books or purchases under $100 served as warm-ups, building trust before diving into vulnerable territory like failure and purpose. The sequencing mattered enormously. Asking someone, "What would your billboard say?" before establishing rapport produces generic platitudes. But after they've shared favorite books and practical life hacks, that same question yields genuine wisdom. This reveals something crucial. The quality of answers depends not just on what we ask, but when and how we ask it. The art of asking better questions becomes a meta skill that transforms how we approach challenges. Sometimes the breakthrough isn't finding the right answer, it's finally asking the right question. Top achievers treat failure as valuable data. Salmon Nosrat's two failed cookbook attempts preceded 17 years in restaurants, developing the deep understanding that made salt, fat, acid, heat revolutionary. Stephen Pressfield's Harvard setback led to discovering PI3 kinase, now central to diabetes and cancer research. Amelia Boone spent $450 she couldn't afford on her first obstacle race, one of only 11 survivors from 1,000 participants, launching her path to four-time world champion. Drew Houston's USB drive frustration became Dropbox, now serving 500 million users. Their daily rituals reveal patterns. Meditation anchors David Lynch and Ray Dalio. Physical movement appears universally. Strauss Zelnick exercises 7 to 12 times weekly. Sleep became crucial after Arianna Huffington's 2007 exhaustion-induced collapse. Naval calls reading a superpower in our age when all knowledge is accessible. Many emphasize selective commitment. Derek Sivers' rule, if you're not saying hell yeah about something, say no. These habits aren't productivity hacks. They're life architecture supporting sustained excellence. Purpose emerges by following curiosity and transforming struggle into meaning. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's favorite failure came when he couldn't get hired after returning to acting. That painful year forced him to create rather than wait, leading to hitrecord.org, a community of over 500,000 artists. Terry Crews shares how being a loser in school prepared him for later success. The market forced me to become better. Kevin Kelly offers crucial advice. Don't try to find your passion. Instead, master some skill, interest, or knowledge that others find valuable. Once you master it, you'll be rewarded with new opportunities that will allow you to move toward what you enjoy. Passion often follows mastery rather than preceding it. Purpose isn't a lightning bolt revelation. It emerges through consistent effort and curiosity. Your struggles aren't obstacles to purpose. They're the raw material from which purpose is forged. In a world of infinite opportunities, declining becomes essential for protecting what matters most. Ferriss uses a simple test. Would you say yes if it were next Tuesday? This question forces honest evaluation when distant commitments seem deceptively easy. Sharon Salzberg notices physical sensations, stomach spiraling, restricted breathing, as her cue to say, "I'll have to get back to you," creating space to ultimately decline. Dustin Moskovitz learned the first no is easiest and cleanest. Declining immediately beats equivocating or agreeing to smaller requests when you'd rather not engage at all. Julia Galef avoids consuming media that merely confirms what she already knows, though validating it's addictive without being educational. Debbie Millman captures the essence. Busy is a decision. We're not victims of overwhelm. We're architects of our commitments. Saying no isn't just about declining external requests, but also about refusing internal distractions and the seductive pull of other people's priorities. Every yes to something trivial is a no to something important. The mentors understand that protecting time, energy, and attention isn't selfish. It's essential for doing work that matters. Successful people experience overwhelm but have reliable strategies to regain clarity. Physical movement serves as a universal reset button. Jocko Willink applies his combat principle: prioritize and execute. Detach from chaos, identify the highest impact problem, solve it, then move to the next. Josh Waitzkin changes his physiology through surfing, kettlebells, bike rides, cold showers, or breathing techniques. Adam Fisher practices HRV breathing, 10 good Buddha breaths seeking a quiet mind. Writing helps many regain clarity. Joseph Gordon-Levitt writes as if for an audience, never sharing, using complete sentences to type his thoughts. Explaining his situation to an imaginary reader forces him to identify what's troubling him. Jacqueline Novogratz asks, "What do you need right now to be happy? Do you need anything other than what is happening right now?" Neil Gaiman runs through diagnostics. Enough sleep? Eaten? Would a walk help? The collective wisdom suggests overwhelm isn't something to power through, but a signal to pause, reset, and reconnect with what matters most. The most powerful thread through Tribe of Mentors is embracing your unique path despite conventional wisdom. Naval Ravikant advises, follow intellectual curiosity over what's trendy. If it leads where society eventually wants to go, you'll be well rewarded. Mr. Money Mustache retired at 30 by rejecting career dependence for high savings rates. Liv Boeri plucks her leg hairs one by one as meditation. Greg Norman brushes his teeth on one leg for balance training. Robert Rodriguez believes radical creative choices risk failure, but avoiding risk means avoiding breakthroughs. Brian Kopelman rejects most writing advice because it prioritizes marketing over craft. This requires rejecting external validation. Dita Von T says, you can be a juicy, ripe peach, and there'll still be someone who doesn't like peaches. The world doesn't need another carbon copy. It needs your unique contribution, however unconventional. The mentors reveal a profound truth. Fitting in means sacrificing what makes you extraordinary. Your quirks aren't flaws. They're features that make your contribution irreplaceable. Yes, you'll face criticism for being different. The real question is whether you'll have the courage to be different anyway. The world has plenty of people following well-worn paths. What it needs is someone brave enough to forge their own. Extraordinary achievement doesn't come from following everyone else's playbook. It comes from having the audacity to write your own. The most valuable wisdom isn't about finding the one right way forward, but about discovering your way and having the conviction to follow it, regardless of how unconventional it appears.